fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to pick up where I left off yesterday, talking about some of the themes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Yesterday was the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, Thomas the Doubter, the one who said, when he was told that Jesus rose from the dead, he said he wouldn't believe it till he could put his finger through it. I can relate through the wounds in his side, in his hands, in his feet. I can relate to that. It's easy to doubt. I think we're living in a time of skepticism and doubt, and not just that, but indifference too. But Jesus loved St. Thomas, understood who he was, the man who he called to follow him and to become an apostle. And like the other apostles, he ended up laying down his life for Christ. And the reality of Jesus' resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost radically transformed his life. He became literally a new man and filled with total conviction, tremendous confidence, courage, zeal, to be able to direct his entire life to the pursuit and the following of Jesus and his purpose for him. That happened with all the apostles. And it's really worth stopping on occasion and just think about the transformation that happened in those guys. We see throughout the Gospels how often they're confronted with doubt. They don't really know who Jesus is ultimately. They can't see it. They're having to battle with their own sin, their own weakness, their own confusion. They're easily confused about things. They're intimidated. But the resurrection and their encountering Jesus after he had risen from the dead and having received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were absolutely transformed. And they lived with one single passion for the rest of their lives, each and every one of them, to the point of being willing to give up everything, even their own life. The apostles and many who followed the apostles were martyred. They were witnesses. What does martyr mean? Martyr means witness. In the real world, in the concrete world they lived in, they realized that what they had seen and touched, what had been revealed to them in Jesus, surpassed everything else that was happening on the earth, anywhere. That it was the most important thing any human being could ever know. That literally God, the Creator, became one of us. And he came to save us. He came to reveal the truth about who we are, why we're here, where we've come from, and where our life is headed. Jesus revealed the truth about who we are and what we're called to be, and they saw it. The lights went on in their minds and in their hearts. They were renewed in their minds. Their mind was touched by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and it recalibrated them. It allowed them to put first things first and to see and understand what mattered most in this world. And what is this world that we're living in? The condition of the world. Jesus revealed the spiritual battle that's happening every day on this earth. So the apostles would speak so clearly and boldly about the spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The reality that every human being is in a battle against the world, that is the fallen dimension of the world we live in, the flesh, the fallen nature inside us, our sin-sick hearts, and the devil himself, that the devil is real, a real spiritual power, and that there's a fight on for our eternal destiny. What's it going to be? Am I going to live and die as a child of God? Or am I going to live and die as an enemy of God and be separated from him for all eternity? That was so clear. That biblical worldview was so clear in the minds of the apostles. And what the Spirit led them to was clarity and conviction about the fact that as children of God, as now members, as we said yesterday, on the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, read from the passage from Ephesians chapter 2, where St. Paul tells us you are no longer strangers, you're no longer alienated from God, but you're now fellow citizens, you're members of God's own household. And you've been given You've been given a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. To be in God's household is not just an image or an analogy. We're literally in the family of God. We've been born again, and we're now children of God. As I mentioned yesterday, St. John saying what he testified to, he says, we've been given power to become children of God. Once his enemies, now his children. And in God's family, just like in your family, there's values, there's patterns of life, there's customs, there's things that matter most that you pass on to your children, you try to build into your household. And hopefully those things come from and flow from the teaching of Christ and the apostles and the church. But there's a pattern of life that's distinct. It's different than the world. And here's where much of the battle happens in the lives of individual disciples and in families. How can we live in the world but not be of the world? How can we live a distinct way of life, the life that we're being exhorted to live that's different, and a life that God expects us to live? Just like Jesus himself, he's the pattern. He's the one we follow. Jesus came to a world that he created and a world that he loves. But he understood its condition, that it's fallen, that there's a great rebellion in the earth, that the kingdom of darkness, that Satan and his legions literally exist, and they seek to seduce and to tempt human beings to turn away from God, to ignore God, to be indifferent to God, and to live according to the pattern of this world. It's a constant theme throughout the teaching of the apostles, that distinction between the two kingdoms. Jesus came to plant a flag, the flag of the kingdom of God in this world, and to rally the human race to it, to make it possible for us to see the reality of God's kingdom. And through repentance, through baptism, through faith, and entering the church, we become his household, his family. And he expects us to walk in his footsteps. And walking in his footsteps means living like he lived. And how he lived was to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. Jesus loved the Father. His passion was to obey the Father and to lead every single one of us to become like him, a son, a child, a daughter, to see the Father as he is, that he's utterly trustworthy. He's almighty, he's holy, he's awesome, and fearful in the healthiest sense of that term. But he's a good God, and he's faithful, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's tender, and he's made each one of us. And we lost our way. We put second things first and third things first, and the temptation to forget God and to live as if this life is all there is. And those who've been born again, set apart for God, many, many, many forget who they are and end up being seduced into this momentum of the world, the fallen dimension of human existence that so aggressively resists God and the purposes and plan of God, resists serving God and putting him first and loving him, but instead insisting on, I'm going to have control of my life. I'm the master of my life and my own destiny. And I'm going to get whatever I can get in this world before it comes to an end. And our attention ends up becoming slaves to our own flesh. We become slaves to the desires within us, our fallen nature, that's always seeking to have the desire satisfied. And so we get trapped in the habit patterns of sin, greed, lust, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, a pattern of life that's consistent with the world, but it's radically inconsistent with the kingdom of God. I think everybody can see today how broken the world is. Patterns of life that were present in our culture 40, 50, 60 years ago, customs of honor and respect, a tremendous kind of healthy fear of God and realization that we're connected to God in some way, and how we live on this earth really matters. How we speak, how we behave, how we live, all of that. It seems like much of it has just been thrown out the window and been forgotten. we're in a battle and we've lost tremendous amount of ground. And we're sliding back into what Pope Benedict XVI described as the darkened mind. A mind that is empty in its futility because it lives as if God doesn't exist. And that somehow we are our own master. You can see in Ephesians chapter 4 in the same letter, Paul addresses it very concretely, verse 17 and following. He said, "Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live and walk as the Gentiles walk," that is, those who don't know God. People today live as if God doesn't exist, and they certainly live as if they don't know him. He goes on to say, they're living in the futility of their minds, a mind that says, again, I'm my own master. I have the answers, or we collectively have the answers to human happiness, to human fulfillment, to pleasure. Maximize health, maximize pleasure, maximize distractions, maximize the pursuit of money. The world is offering these things up to us as if they really are the solution to the heart's deepest longing, as if they're going to help us be successful in this world. It's a huge deception. And instead, Paul said, he warns those who've been baptized, who he's writing to, don't fall into the empty futility again of a darkened mind. A darkened mind is the mind, again, that lives as if God doesn't exist or God isn't real, and that we literally are in charge. And we know the way to human happiness apart from God. It's crazy. It's a darkened mind. Verse 18, he said, they are darkened in their understanding and they're alienated from the life of God. A darkened mind and alienation. So Paul's saying, look, you were once strangers. You were once alienated and isolated and far off. But you've been brought near now in Christ. Jesus has opened up to you the life the Father made for you. And he's opened up the road to happiness and human fulfillment. He's opened up the road home to the Father, the only road home. And he was very clear, and the apostles knew this. This is why they teach this so clearly to us, that the Father's expecting us literally to be conformed to his Son and to live a new way of life and to make a clear, solid, intelligent, clear-headed, and strong decision to make a break from the patterns in this world that are inconsistent with our dignity as sons and daughters of God, and that take us away from what we read yesterday from Ephesians, that God has formed us into a holy people, a temple of the living God, and to offer our lives to him as a living sacrifice. That's the road to happiness. That's the road to joy. But Paul presses in and he said, they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. The same human temptation. We harden our hearts to God's rightful claim on our lives. We say no to the will of God because somehow we don't trust it. We don't trust him. And we insist on fashioning our own way of life, which is deadly. Friends, that's the battle that's really at the ground of what's unfolding in our culture today. That's why it looks like the wheels are falling off. At the bottom, it's resistance to God. Let's open our hearts to him today and run with him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.